And the vendors will always do what's best for the vendors first and foremost. And sometimes that means rolling their car over the channel.
If you could build a $5 million consultancy around a single platform, and that platform just ended up changing its pricing model or restructuring partner tiers or even launching some of these AI agents, you know, what does your Monday look like when that announcement hits your inbox?
Well, eventually those channel commissions will go away. I believe that to my core. Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. If you tune in regularly, you know that Revenue Rocket is the world's premier M&A advisor to IT services companies. With me today are my partners, Matt Lockhart and Ryan Barnett. Welcome, guys.
Good to be here. I was out and about last week. I'll just put a plug in. The national parks in our country are an absolute gem, in particular out west. So now you know where I was, but excited to be back and excited for our topic today. What's going on, Ryan?
Yeah, hey, well, welcome back. And we're really looking at an interesting topic this week. Really want to examine what channel partners and how channel partners impact our client base. So here at Revenue Rocket, we're 100% focused on the IT services space. And we help firms buy other firms, or if your time is right, we can help sell your firm to the right suitor and find you a new home, if what makes sense. And part of what we also do is just help companies navigate their journey through growth and profit and by looking through through our lens of our consulting arm. And we work with a lot of what we'd call channel partners. So think your Microsoft, SAP, Oracle, Salesforce, AWS kind of partners that are out there implementing, configuring, operating different software or hardware product solutions with other partners. And, you know, a lot of IT services firms build their entire business, the people, the pricing, the go-to-market, everything around a partner's ecosystem. And what happens, and we've seen this happen a lot, is when a partner pivots, it could be a pricing model, it could be AI tools that are cannibalizing what you're working on today, it could be partner programs restructuring. There's a big impact on the partners that have to deal with it. And so we're seeing this happen in real time across Salesforce, Microsoft, AWS. Anyone who is channel dependent has really started to look at what does that channel partner mean and what's the future of their business. Sometimes it can be good, oftentimes it can be unsettling. So really wanted to dive in this today, Mike and Matt, and try to understand, you know, what are some of the dynamics here? And, you know, maybe if I could just start with a bit of an open here, Mike or Matt, if you could build a $5 million consultancy around a single platform, and that platform just ended up changing its pricing model or restructuring partner tiers or even launching some of these AI agents, you know, what does your Monday look like when that announcement hits your inbox? Mike, why don't you get us going?
Well, it probably, if you knew it was coming on Sunday, it would redefine Sunday scaries for sure. That is incredible question, Ryan. I think you now, your vendor just turned your world upside down. Your entire business was built around sort of the partner revenue stream or partner lead stream in some cases. And if that's changing based on measures that the partner vendor determines to be in their best interest, it's likely not in, or could be not in your best interest. And so I think it probably provides a little foreshadowing for where the rest of this podcast is going to go. But it certainly means you got to be rethinking your business quickly and focusing on how you become more independent or more dependent on your own, you know, your own business, rainmaking ability, marketing ability, and execution ability, and less dependent on that vendor.
Yeah, Matthew, take on that?
I mean, I think that the early sort of guidance around, the topic is that, platform vendors, channel partners are can be extremely important to the business. But the level of dependence, right, that you have on any particular partner, channel partner, platform partner, really needs to be monitored across, your, sort of foundational go-to-market capabilities. So for marketing and lead generation versus, sales and, closely connected to sales, really customer intimacy, your continued sort of move into expertise within what you do, within any specialization or technical specialization. If you are too dependent upon any particular partner or vendor, then the more dependent you are, the more you are at risk, I guess.
Well, in this, Matt, it's a great point. There's a lot of risk that comes with that, and at the same time, there's a lot of opportunity that comes with that. And I would say that a lot of the companies that we work with, there's oftentimes this track. Do you start to specialize and be the partner in one ecosystem, or do you start to branch out and become part of another? And oftentimes, when we look at this, we oftentimes preach a specialized and verticalized approach to execution. I loved, Mike, if you think about that specialized and verticalized approach, and you think about the partner network, how do you rationalize that risk that we're talking about when you can also have kind of expertise that could make you really stand out and be a superstar partner for your partner?
Well, I think the reality of the matter is if you're really verticalized, as we determine it in a vertical market, you probably have the opportunity to effectively represent multiple product lines in a particular category. And I'd say many of our clients we've advised do that in particular to mitigate the risk of any particular vendor, upending their program and then causing you hurt. Now, not every firm does that, but as a verticalized firm, you certainly can stand out in the eyes and minds of a particular vendor. And oftentimes they develop programs specifically for verticalized partners that insulate you from some of the broader changes in their general program. So that's a benefit. Oftentimes you become a preferred partner or special class partner within a single vendor ecosystem. So that also gives you some more fortification. But, I would also say as a practical matter, and generally, if you're really aligned to a particular vertical market, you likely are going to be less reliant on a single vendor because there's adjacencies that would require you to, may require you to be multi-vendor, and particular types of products, or products that ultimately get attached to one another to help deliver the best solution for any particular vertical are there. So it becomes less risky, frankly, over time, for you to be verticalized. Even if the lion's share of the work you do isn't around a single vendor and a single vendor's partner program.
Yes, and what's interesting here, on the sell side, when we're representing firms, we've had a few vendors lately that have been relatively sole source. And the reason why they were being acquired was because of their expertise. And so I think they're just to say there absolutely can be risk and dependency in a program, but that specialty is also what makes you really, really attractive to the right suitor at the right time. So there is, I think, this interesting risk perhaps that what I'm hearing from you, Mike, there might be enough reward there as well if you're able to be a first-class partner, the first tier partner and such.
Yeah, Ryan, let me even layer on that even a little bit more, right? So kind of going back to what I was saying and the level of dependency, it can be wholly appropriate, depending upon, where a firm is in their journey, that they may be, sort of solely focused in one particular partner ecosystem. Let's just take digital transformation or modernization as an example, and an earlier stage firm, or shoot, you could take cybersecurity, you could take any number of sort of sub specialization competencies, and a firm that might be in the first half of their journey as a firm, really wanted to make a mark. They had the skills. They may have come out of one particular partner ecosystem. And that can be a really good strategy. However, if you are then dependent upon that partner for lead generation and sales, et cetera, then you're not doing the right thing for your business because you are becoming too dependent upon that business. Now, again, if you think about it in that context, if you become an expert, right, at that competency, it could be, say, cybersecurity competency, and you are an expert, which means you're an expert at working with the customer, you're an expert at those assessments, you are an expert in sort of the ongoing ecosystem that is derived from that central partnership. Well, you are also giving yourself an opportunity to expand beyond sort of that sole sourced channel and partner relationship.
Yeah, a great, great point. And I think one of the themes that we have seen throughout our entire history here is the dependency on leads specifically. And so when you grow your business and you're getting leads from the partner, I think it's very common for us to see those leads dry up. Mike, I'd love to get your take on that general topic.
Wow, how much time do we have, Ryan? I mean,
it could be the rest of the episode. It's a big one, right? And I'd love to, Mike, you've also had a philosophy for years that I'd love for you to share with the audience that, where you think the state of partners and leads and partnerships going when it comes to sales.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that, certainly partnerships have a place in the world of IT services. And however, I've said riffed on this for a long time that you should not rely or build your business solely on vendor leads. You need to be able to hunt, source new opportunities within your customer base yourself. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, ultimately, all vendors, I think, will go direct to the consumer, B2B relationship with their clients, and leave the channel out of any remuneration pursuant to product or software acquisition. I just think this is where the market's been moving, sometimes faster, sometimes slower for a long time. And those same vendors will always do what's in the best interest of their business as a vendor versus a channel. That's just a given, right? They oftentimes have stockholders to report to. They have, a board to report to, and they need to manage their business. And for them, paying channel commissions or spiffs or overrides, that certainly takes away from their bottom line. Now, channel certainly plays a place in the world of reselling. But I think in the current environment, particularly in the world of AI, I think self-procurement will be the rule sooner than the exception. And the role of the partner becomes much more around the final mile implementation work that is sold as services, as well as what I call the service garage, right? Regardless of the product or platform or solution, someone needs to be around to be able to implement it and ultimately be able to service it and maintain it, whatever that means for that particular hardware or software or platform or SaaS solution. And that is the IT services company that focuses on that market. That's also why we think verticalization is pretty important, because the functional expertise that comes along with that vertical vertical market experience and is what the customer is looking for. They'll again, in the world of AI agents, will be looking less for technical competence and more for coordination efforts and functional experts. So important consideration there. So, you know, couple threads there. Don't count on the leads you're going to get from vendors, whether it includes product overrides or not. Make sure you can find and cultivate your own customer and help them with their implementations or whatever those technologies are. And, you know, use your expertise to help them get the most out of that tech. And in the world of agentic AI, there's probably a lot of really interesting things you can bring to the party to extend those solutions to do things that maybe in some cases they weren't even ever designed to do. And that comes from the folks that are closest to the functional expertise in the market, as well as, you know, knowing the vertical market as in ways that the vendor probably can never really know. And know that, you know, eventually those channel commissions will go away. I believe that to my core. We've seen it happen with many vendors. Certainly, haven't seen many vendors over the last 20 years or so dramatically increase their payments to partners. Typically, all these programs have gone one way, and that's been to reduce the number of partners, encourage consolidation in the channel, and reduce remuneration if they were paying anything to the vendors. Or to the you know, and consultancies that are implementing these technologies.
Yes, and I think what we're seeing in real time is that these partners are changing things. So I mean, for example, in Microsoft, you're seeing Copilot has opportunity to compress some billable hours if you can get your job done faster. Now, you can also, it opens up some huge market opportunity for companies who need to implement Copilot. But there's this, a bit of the changing. You see the partner tiers are changing all the time. And I think Microsoft is especially infamous for this. On the second you get a program going, it can change, and you're in or out on one level, and the resources and MDF and everything else that comes with it changes as well. In the Salesforce model, we've seen that channel getting really compressed. So we used to have four or five partner tiers and more support across those partner tiers. Now only the top tier partners are getting support, and the rest are starting to wash out. Same thing, just how AWS and Azure look at consumption and what they're doing. And to your point, Mike, the vendor is oftentimes pulling that value back. And perhaps they are even saying, maybe we don't need as many partners, or the partners we want to have are the ones that are more relevant to the channel and our current marketing efforts. And so, Matt, I'd love for to get your thought here. You know, when a partner starts to call us partner in this conversation is really hard, but when a company who's implementing partner solutions calls us and says, hey, my partner program just changed, you know, what do you say? I mean, what does that conversation sound like?
Well, you know, first it's take a breath, right? Your current customers are great customers, and service them well, treat them well, hold them dearly, right? And, you know, in any scenario, your current customers are part of your foundation upon which you grow with. Secondly, obviously, if you've been sort of focused in one particular partner ecosystem, you hopefully had some heads up and you've got people to work with to help you map the changes within that ecosystem. And something that I was thinking about as you were talking, Ryan, is that, all of this, sort of fits in the ongoing product/service management capability within your business. So, as we've talked about, part of not being solely dependent is you mapping what you do to provide extra value to a customer on top of somebody's ecosystem. And if you've been doing that well, even if they change their program, you should be in a good position to leverage the expertise that you have because you've been building extra value upon the ecosystem. And so now, in that vein, they do change, expect change within the partner program. Hopefully you can be ahead of it so that it is not a shock and a surprise. If it is a shock and a surprise, then, think about that your overall product and service management capability and start to build up upon those capabilities. And quite honestly, it sort of plays in a decision, a strategic decision. Do you continue forward? Are you riding it out, right? Are you looking at making a strategic change to your capabilities and building out more ecosystem partners that map to the capabilities that you have? A choice can be made to think about, changing the chapter and the trajectory that you're on, i.e., at times, it may be the right time to think about exiting the business, quite honestly.
Right. And this brings you right to my next question, Matt, as we look to wrap some of this discussion up, is what happens to the M&A landscape here? So especially, let's say there's a long tail of many firms that are providing services, perhaps that are just smaller in revenue, and those leads start to dry up and perhaps even revenue and profit starts to change. At the opposite side, you maybe have leading partners who have the opportunity to acquire. Mike, where do you see the ecosystem of deals changing when the rules change with the partners?
Well, Ryan, I'm thinking about that. That's the pause. I would tell you that the landscape will change, although I think consolidation is sort of an immovable force in the world of IT services. I think we've seen consolidation since the market started, 40 years ago, really. And there's consistently been movement towards more and more firms and, frankly, more and more consolidation. Some years up, some years down, but certainly in general and up and to the right sort of consolidated movement. Now, I think when the partners dramatically change the landscape, that probably accelerates the opportunity that exists in consolidation. For those stronger partners to maybe scoop up some of those that are challenged the most by those changes. And certainly as the rules of AI change the landscape of how these firms are staffed and what work is able to be done with the number of headcount, that will also be sort of a a catalyst or an accelerator in the world of consolidation in this space. What will it mean for valuation? Probably has much more to do with what an individual firm's track record has been and what it likely will be in the new world order if the vendor changes the game. But I certainly don't see it having a dampening effect on the M&A landscape. If anything, I see it accelerating consolidation in those channels.
Matt, for kind of a closing question here, I'd love to get your same take. I think this is worth a couple of views on. Let's see, and when you see these partner programs change drastically and the landscape changes, what's your prediction of how these markets will shake out for M&A?
Yeah. The tried and true business principles, apply to Mike's point. If you're a well-run business, if you're producing good margins, if you're producing good profit, if you're good at solutioning and taking care of your customers, you are going to be attractive. Where you fit sort of in size and importance to any vendor partner really does need to be thought of in terms of if you could be a consolidator or if potentially the right thing to do is to quote unquote partner up, as we say in the M&A business, and look to join another firm. You know, regardless of how the partner program changes, and if we're talking about really good, strong vendor ecosystems, you are going to be attractive if you are doing it well and you are running your business. But to Mike's point, there will be sort of heightened consolidation activity oftentimes when there are dramatic changes, within the partner program ecosystems. I think it again, I just sort of go back to those business principles, as well as making sure that you are thinking really critically about, where you fit. Is it the right thing to do to be, really sole sourced versus kind of raising up a layer in terms of your competencies and having multiple partnerships to play with? I think Mike's early points around verticalization, kind of go to the extra value that you provide to your customers. Those are the sort of the add-ons that I would say. And then one sort of last caveat is that as we are hyper accelerating into the age of AI, it's going to be a great time, but change is likely only going to the rate of change is only going to increase.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Where it feels like we're in the early innings of this, and at the same time, I think as we watch partners changing. And this opportunity could be that if we move from software as a service and, partners implementing software as a service to service as a software, this could be the biggest opportunity that channel partners have ever. And so I think there really is this opportune time that could be really, really great for those who take advantage of the situation that's in front of us. Yeah, Matt, Mike, thank you so much for the call today. Mike, I'll leave it to you for any closing thoughts.
Sounds great, Ryan. I think it was a great, great topic today. Hopefully our listeners found some value. With that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. I encourage you to tune in next week when we'll unpack further ideas, concepts, tips, and tricks around the M&A world in IT services. With that, make it a great week.